Jennifer, for sharing with us. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Jeanette and I have reflected over the last few days about Northwood and some of the memories we had here. And I was thinking on the way up here this morning, it was 18 years ago that I came to Northwood Baptist Church. So I think last month would have been 18 years ago that we came here. We're here for about 8 years, and a lot of good memories, and because we serve a great God, and God is, He is good, and He is faithful, and that song reminded us, too, that we ought to be faithful. Because of His goodness, in response to the goodness of God, we ought to be dedicated and faithful to the Lord. I assume everybody knows my name, right? Brother Loman, Brother Chester Loman, it's good to be here, and good to see each of you, and we're so thankful. A lot has changed since the time that I was here pastoring, and I've gotten a lot older, as you can tell, and my grandkids are growing up. My oldest grandson towers above me, and he makes me feel short, makes me feel old. He is 17 years old now, Elijah. Josiah will be 15 in July. And then the two twin granddaughters, they just turned 10 years old. And they are full of energy. And what one doesn't think of, the other one does. They're always up to something. But we're so thankful for our grandkids, thankful for our family. My dad is doing well. And of course, since I pastored here, my mother passed away. And but we're just so thankful we know where she is and that she's in the presence of the Lord. But God has been good through the years, and I just give him all the praise and all the glory. Galatians chapter 2, I want to share a verse of scripture there with you. We're also going to turn over to chapter 6 and look at one more verse. I refer to several verses throughout the message, but I'm going to invite you to stand, those that are able to, for the reading of the word. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, verse you're very familiar with, I know, and I preached on when I was here before. And it says, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, where Paul also tries to sum up some of the things that are said throughout the discourse to the churches of Galatia. But he says in verse 14, he said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul said, we're not here to glory in the works of the law and the works of the flesh, but our glory is in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come and just to meet with your people again. And Father, we're thankful for the Northwood, and we're thankful for the privilege that we've had to be here in the past. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be here today. And Father, we thank you for their faithfulness. And I pray you'll continue to bless them in their faithfulness. And I pray that you would just guide them and give them wisdom and understanding in all that they do and direct their path. And we pray for the Janeshills, Father, that you would also direct their path and guide them, that through the life of this church and through the Janeshills, Lord, that you might receive the honor and all the glory from our lives. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your faithfulness. We ask you to bless today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I thought about several things and a lot of messages I preached here in the past. And I thought, well, I could preach a lot of different messages that they don't remember anyhow. And there's a lot of new people. I thought about preaching on love and about the importance of loving one another. And we should love one another. And that should be manifested by how we deal with one another. And we ought to love lost souls. And I thought about preaching about soul winning, how we ought to be busy telling other people about Christ. And we should. We should be engaged every single day. Lord, send someone in my life that I might be able to share the love of Christ with them, that I might be a witness to them. I thought about preaching on faithfulness, why we ought to preach, or why we ought to be faithful to God because of his goodness in our life. And we ought to be dedicated to him. And we should be faithful. We ought to be faithful to God. We ought to be faithful to God's house and to serve him and to glorify him with our lives. But this morning, just for a few minutes, I want to just focus on the cross. Is it all right if I preach on the cross? Would that be all right? And I'm not going to go back and preach the Gospels, but I want to just focus on the cross just for a few minutes and the difference the cross makes in our life and the change that happens in our life because of the cross of Calvary. You know that old song that we sing, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. And it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. I remember as a 10-year-old boy when I heard the gospel of Christ, when I heard about the fact that I was a sinner and lost and that Jesus died for me and that I could have eternal life if I would trust him as my Savior. I remember as a 10-year-old boy trusting Christ as my Savior and receiving that salvation, and because of that, I have eternal life. And it made a difference in my life. And if you've been to the cross and you know Christ your Savior, it has made a difference in your life. The cross makes a difference between light and darkness. The cross makes a difference between good and evil, victory and defeat, success and failure. The cross makes a difference between heaven and hell. And if you take away the cross and his sacrifice, If you take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we are left with nothing as a church, because the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ is the foundation of our belief, and it is the foundation of the very essence of our hope as a child of God, as a New Testament church. Oh, how important the cross is, and to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. All that we are, church, all that we are, and all that we ever shall be, hinges on and is determined by our personal relationship with the Christ of the cross. I've been working for the last few months with hospice as a chaplain. And I've been to a lot of homes, I've been into a lot of facilities and hospitals visiting people that are in hospice. Just recently, I met a lady. I'll just give you her first name. Her name is Angie. And she is 91 years old. And I got to visit in her daughter's home where she was living, and got to visit in her home. And that 91-year-old lady knew the Lord as her Savior. And she had such a joy. And I visited her home three different times. And the last time I brought my guitar, and we sang a little bit. But there was one song that she wanted to sing. She said, "This has been on my mind, and I've been singing this over and again in my head, and it's the song, He Keeps Me Singing." And she actually sang by herself, even without the guitar. She sang that first verse by herself, "He Keeps Me Singing." And she said, that's a lifter song. It kind of lifts me up a little bit. And she was excited, not worried at all about her death. Not worried about at all about leaving this world, because she knew exactly where she would be. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that, and what a difference the cross, the Christ of the cross, have made a difference in her life. Amen. Recently, she was put in the hospital. They call them GIP patients. And she was in the hospital, and I went to see her yesterday. She could barely respond to me. But her room was with her daughter was there, her granddaughter was there, a friend was there, another person was there. And they all talked about it, including myself. Such a blessing that Angie had been to my life and to their lives. And the hope that they have that when she passes away, she'll be in the arms of the Savior. And what a joy that was. And then just down the hall, I visited another man that I found out was in there. His name is Leo. And I hadn't seen him in years. But I walked into his room, and Leo is totally unresponsive. 77 years old, and he's all alone. No family. I think the son had been there earlier, but there was no one with him. All alone. Just hours away from leaving this earth. And the last testimony I heard of Leo was that he did not know the Lord as a Savior. And I thought, what a contrast between a lady who knows the Lord, who walks with the Lord, and rejoices in her homegoing, to a man who is dying all alone, without hope, without Christ. And I want you to understand, the cross makes a difference in our life. And you can take the Word of God this morning if you want to, and you could sum it all up in two short phrases. I am a lost sinner, and Christ died for me. It's all about His love. It's all about His sacrifice and what He did for me. And when a lost sinner comes to the Christ and trusts Christ as their Lord and Savior, their life is changed forever. Let me just share with you three simple things that takes place when one comes to Christ for salvation. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, I'm sure. Y'all know these things. But there's a transformation that takes place when we trust Christ as our Savior. And one of the things is, because of the cross, I have become a new person. When I came to Jesus Christ and I trusted Him as my Savior, because of the cross and because of His sacrifice and because of my faith and trust in Christ, I have become a new person. And in fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said by his own testimony that once he persecuted the church and he wasted the church. But Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, and on that road to Damascus, he gave his life and heart to Christ, and his life was changed forever. And now Paul declares in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And so we realize that Paul had become a new person in Christ. And I want you to know this morning, if you're saved and born again, you are a new person in Christ. You know, God is good. Amen. Paul spoke about the fact that there was a time that he was a foreigner, alienated from God, but because of Calvary, he became a citizen of heaven. There was a time that Paul and us were strangers, but because of Calvary, now we're children of God. There was a time that I was an enemy of God, but because of Calvary, now I'm a friend. There was a time that I was a slave in bondage to sin, but because of Calvary, I have been forgiven. There was a time that I owed a debt and you owed a debt. Because of Calvary, our account has been settled and that payment has been made for us. But if we have trusted Him as our Savior, what a change takes place in our life. A few years ago, I witnessed to a man and I asked him, do you have peace and joy in your life? And that man simply said, I have no peace and I have no joy. And I think how sad it is, and that's the condition of those that are outside of Christ. But when you come to Christ, you become a new person. But as a lost sinner who is hopeless, if they will see their condition, that they're lost and they're hopeless without any way to save themselves, and by faith place their hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ for salvation, they can become a child of God. They can become a new person in Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Amen. I'm so thankful for Jesus this morning and the difference He makes in our life. I read about an evangelist one time who was preaching in Canton, Ohio. And after the service, he was approached by a man who was lost, unsaved, didn't know the Lord as a Savior. And the man approached him and he said, is there any hope? Is there any hope for someone like me? He said, I'm the most vile, the worst sinner that you could possibly think of. And he said, I've just wasted my life. He said, I used to make good money and then I would drink it up even though my wife and children needed it. And he said, my wife was a good Christian or is a good Christian, but she came to the point where she said, I just can't take it any longer. And she told me, don't come home. Just don't come home. And he wept and pleaded, can you do anything for me? And the preacher told him, listen, I know one who can transform your life. I know one who can change you. And he took a few minutes and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And that man humbled himself and got on his knees and humbled himself. And he called on the Lord and asked the Lord to save him. And the Lord heard him. And immediately, once he was saved, his thoughts went back toward his home. And he said, will you go with me? And he said, do you think my wife will take me back? And will you go with me? And will you tell her what has happened to me? And he says, I think she will take you back. And I'll go with you. And so he went with the husband and back to his home. And he said, his wife met us out front. And she had a scared look on her eyes. And then the preacher told her that she had a new husband. And it told her that Christ had saved him. And he said, I called him in. And they fell into each other's arms. And they embraced each other. And they both wept for joy. And it's all because of what the cross of Calvary did for that man's life, what Christ did in his life, because he trusted Christ as his Savior. When you come to the cross and when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become a new person. You become a child of God. It changes who you are. But also, not only does it change you as a person, but when you come to the cross, because of the cross, because of Calvary, because of Christ, he has changed my purpose. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. He said, there was a day that I did my own thing. There was a day that I persecuted the church. There was a day that I just did what Paul wanted to do. But he said, now Christ liveth in me. And now it's not my will, but his will manifested in my life. Christ liveth in me. And he said, he is saying that I belong to him. My life is no longer my own. I'm his by right of purchase. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, Paul says this, for we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you've been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 18, he says, for as much as you know you're not saved or redeemed by corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. My life has the mark of his ownership, and that's the cross. I belong to him. My purpose is to live for him and not myself. Turn, if you will, just for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. Let me just back up to verse 14. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, or it compels us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And in verse 15 he says, that he died for all, which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so Paul says to them, because of your standing in Christ, no longer do you live unto yourselves. No longer are we to live just doing our will. No longer are we to be the focus of our life. But he says, unto him. Why? Which died for them and rose again. And so we understand that we have a new purpose as a child of God, and we are to live for him and not for ourselves. I want you to know this morning, God deserves, now I have to confess, he doesn't always get it, because there are times when I get backslidden like everybody, but he deserves my best. He deserves the best of your life. Not the leftovers of your life, but he deserves the best of your life. There are some people in the years of ministry and pastoring, there are sometimes that people say, well, if I have time, I'll serve God. If I have time, I'll do this or that, and I'll be involved. If I have time, I'll go to church. I want you to understand that Christ ought to have preeminence in your life, that he ought to be above everything else. He ought to be the center and the focus of your life, and you should give him the best part of your day, the best part of your life. He deserves our best. Some people say, well, if I have any money left over, I will give to God. If I have any money left over, I'll give to the church. I want you to understand that he ought to have the first part. You ought to realize that everything I have and all my treasures and all my riches and everything I possess, it comes by the grace of God. It belongs to him. He just simply entrusted it with me as a steward, and he deserves the best of all that I have. Amen. Some people say, preacher, if you can't find anybody else to serve, I'll do it. You know, in the years of ministry, this is one of the things that I see lacking in so many churches. And I'm talking about the church I was just pastoring, First Baptist Church in Sullivan, is the lack of commitment. People want the work of God to be done. And yeah, they'll clap their hands. Yeah, go for it, preacher. Just do it. They want the work of God to be done. Deacons, you do it. Take care of it. And they want the work of God to be done, and they might even give a little bit for it. But don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me. I can't tell you the number of times I've had people tell me, well, we need this Sunday school class, and we need to do this for the kids, and we need to do that. And when we ask, are you willing to help? No, that's just not my, I can't do that. And so many times people will say, hey, we need this or that, but they're not willing to commit themselves. I want you to know that we ought to give our best to God. He deserves everything. He deserves my devotion. And if I love Him who first loved me, then sacrificing my time and my talents and my treasures should be a pleasure for me. Not a problem, but a pleasure. Service in the cause of Christ. If I love Him the way that I should, if He has the rightful place on the throne of my heart, service to the cause of Christ would be a delight and not a drudgery. Separation from this world would be a calling and not a curse. I want to be set apart. I want to be used by Almighty God. 1 Peter 1, it says, and as obedient children, in verse 14, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I want you to know, God has a plan for my life. When I came to the cross of Calvary as a 10-year-old boy, the cross changed me as a person. When I came to the cross of Calvary, the cross gave me a new purpose in life. But also because of the cross, my home has changed. Not only am I a new person, not only has God given me a purpose to glorify Him in everything that I do and everything that I say, but the place, the cross has changed the place. I have a new home as a child of God. There at the cross, when I trusted Him, I was once lost and condemned. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But when I trusted Him as my Savior, I have a new home. I once was lost and destined to eternal separation, to the lake of fire. But now through Christ and through His sacrifice, I have a new home. In Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and all the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want you to understand, those outside of Christ, those that have rejected the provision that God has made for their sin, those that have rejected God's love, those that have rejected the grace of God, I want you to understand that hell is a real place. The lake of fire is a real place. Hell is an eternal place. It is a place of outer darkness. It is a place where those who say no to the grace of God will be tormented day and night throughout all eternity. And by the way, child of God, that ought to cause us to have the reality of hell ought to wake us up. Because I have friends and I have loved ones and I have people that God put in my life that do not know Christ as their Savior. And they need someone to care enough about them and love them enough to tell them, to warn them that there is an eternity, that one day they're going to step out of eternity, and one day they're either going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. We need to warn them of the judgment to come. Hell is a real place, but also hell is a place where God does not want you to go. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. You know, when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, not only was my heart changed, but my home is changed. I hope and pray that you can say, I know I have a home in heaven. And it's not because of me trying to keep the law. It's not because of me trying to do good works and earn my way to heaven. It's not anything I've done. It's not my righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Christ. It's because I've trusted Him as my Savior. I know I have a new home in heaven. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy," and I'm thankful for God's mercy, "hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And so that we have assurance of our salvation and assurance of that hope because Jesus not only died and was buried, but He was raised again by the power of God, confirming the fact that His sacrifice was accepted by God and satisfied God's justice and righteousness. He was raised from the dead. And He says, because we have placed our faith in that, we have a living hope, He said, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, faith that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Again, if you are a child of God, then you have a home in heaven that Christ has prepared for you. And I'm so thankful that He said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so He is coming again. And we look forward to the day that we are home with Him in heaven. But it all is determined, my standing, my hope, my home, is all based on trusting and knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. Paul said again concerning himself, concerning what Christ had done for him because of the cross. He said, "For me, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Christ indwells you if you're a child of God, because you're a new person, indwelled by the Spirit of God. And He said, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And Paul said, as long as I'm on this earth, he said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "All my glory, all my hope is because of Calvary." I wonder this morning, as far as I know, everyone here is saved. I don't know your heart. But I wonder if you could put your hand on your heart and you could say, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. I know that I'm a child of God. In fact, preacher, I could give you a Bible reason. I could open up the Word of God and I could give you a Bible reason why I know that I'm saved. Every child of God, everyone here that's saved, ought to be able to do that, ought to be able to open up the Word of God and say, "I know that I'm saved. And I know because of that I'm a new person in Christ. I have a new purpose in Christ. I have a new home that He's gone to prepare for me." I have that absolute assurance. But if you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I don't care if you're a member of the church or a member of some other church, if you've never humbled yourself and acknowledged your need as a sinner and by faith trusted Him for salvation, you need to come to the Savior today. I draw your attention back to the two people I spoke of early on, Angie. Such a sweet spirit and such a wonderful hope. All because of Calvary. All because of Christ. Dying in the midst of family and friends, prepared to go home. And then there's Leo, dying alone, and as far as I know, without Jesus Christ. What about you? If death were to knock on your door today, can you say with absolute assurance, I know where I'm going to spend eternity? I know that I'm at peace with God. I know that I have a home prepared for me. If not, I want to urge you to get that settled before it's too late. Because the Bible says we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. It's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And we need to be prepared. As if this was our last day, we need to be prepared to meet the Savior. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and just ask His blessings on this invitation. Father in heaven, we bow before You, and we're so thankful that we can call You our Father. We're so thankful for the blessed hope we have today, all because of the sacrifice made on the cross of Calvary. Father, I don't know the hearts of these that are gathered here today. You do. And Lord, if there's one here that does not have that settled conviction that they are secure in Christ, may this be the moment, the time, that they would humble themselves and place their faith and trust in Christ. Lord, You know our hearts. You know us through and through. And Father, if we are saved, help us to realize we have a purpose, that You've got a plan for our life, that everything we are ought to be used for Your honor, for Your glory, that we ought to be devoted to You. Father, we have failed You so often. We pray for Your forgiveness. We pray for Your help, that we'll be the servants You'd have us to be. Father, bless this invitation. If there be need that You've laid on heart, Father, may this be the hour that we surrender all to You and yield our life to You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.